while we do that, while it doesn't sound like perhaps it makes a lot of sense initially, in the world that we find ourselves in, it may make tremendous sense. And here's the reason why. I'm going to use an example. I mentioned earlier in the program that I had the opportunity to work in the aerospace and defense industry during the Cold War years as part of a defense strategy that was called MADD, Mutually Assured Deterrence and Destruction. By any stretch of the imagination, a strategy that assures mutual destruction sounds absolutely insane. To create, to wake up one morning and simply create a mutually assured destruction strategy makes very little sense on the one hand. However, and this is very important, within the context of where our world had evolved at the time of the Cold War, the strategy actually made tremendous sense. And it made so much sense that it worked. And I can say that it worked for this reason. We're still here. We're still here. And the mutually assured destructive strategy served the purpose to buy us time. It bought us precious, precious time. And within that time, while our mutually assured deterrence was holding one another back from doing the unthinkable and moving toward a global conflict, on the one hand, consciousness found another way. Over decades of trial and error, consciousness found another way to deal with our problems. We backed away from the brink of a global conflict to the point where we felt that we didn't even need to have that kind of deterrence in place to the same degree, anyway, that we had during those Cold War years. So from that perspective, the strategy worked. It sounds insane to create the strategy when all things are equal. However, within the context of the world that we had created during the time of the Cold War era, the strategy actually made sense. So I'm using that as an example, because I think something very similar may actually be happening right now. Part of us are addressing the differences, the way that we have learned over the last 3,000 to 4,000 years, especially in these last 100 years, that part of us, that part of our consciousness, the part of the only one of us that's here, is buying us time. In late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a tremendous spiritual revolution that was sweeping the earth, and it was the evidence of that was coming out in the way people lived their lives, and it was being mirrored in science and technology, as well as philosophy and theology and art and music. And what happened was World War I came along early in the 1900s, and everything that was being developed now was seen within the context of a wartime mentality. It wasn't long after that, we were just creeping out from under the shadow of World War I, and what happened? World War II came along. And it wasn't long after that, we had what was called the Korean conflict. And not long after that, Vietnam. It wasn't long after that, we found ourselves in what was called the Cold War. Up until September 11th, I could say that this is the first time in nearly 100 years that we were not actively preparing for defending or fighting in a broad military arena somewhere in the world. And here's what's happened. Every time our consciousness finds itself in these kinds of conflicts, it seems to taint the way we view our relationship to the world. Look at World War II. Look at the kinds of technology that were birthed, the technology in and of itself. It's not good or bad, right or wrong. It's powerful. And it tells us about who we are in our world and how we relate to creation. It was discovered during wartime, so the consciousness viewed the discoveries, and many of these were wartime applications. Think of the peacetime applications that could have come from nuclear energy, from the kind of medicine and the medical experiments that were done, from the biological experiments that were done. It seems that every 20 years or so in this country, we go through a business and economic cycle, and the perception has been that war is good for business, it's good for the economy. And a good war will fuel jobs back home. The question is, why doesn't peace do the same thing? Why isn't peace a viable industry? Well, it is. And we're beginning to understand that. But the reason, I believe, what happened was, those innovative ideas that were coming about at the turn of the century, they were all skewed into defense and wartime consciousness, which isn't right, wrong, or good or bad. It is the nature of our world in that time. We were just coming out from under that at the end of the Cold War, and we had a period of time where new discoveries were being made, and we were not actively fighting and preparing for a broad military arena. And the question is, if we were not preparing for the war, how far would we let those discoveries carry us this time? And the answer, it remains to be seen, is whether or not we will allow that wartime mentality to stifle the innovations that quantum physics now is beginning to reveal, and if so, to what degree and what it means. And I think we're determining the answer to that right now.